Welcome to Wednesday Night at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us.
Started this, we've been in it 2 or 3 weeks already, and we're still in chapter 1. And so we're going to look at James chapter 1, verses 9 to 18. Now let me just tell you up front here, we might not get done with everything tonight, okay? And I know for some of you, you'll panic and you'll walk out here, I got a blank left, I don't know what goes in it, and how am I going to exist? Well, you'll get over it, okay? So we know that James is being written to the Christian Jews that are scattered all over the place. He talks to them about the troubles and the trials they're going through. He tells them, remember last week we talked about if you need wisdom and how to get wisdom and you just ask for it. And he's continuing on in the same subject, the same vein. It's still in the same section. And so he's going to talk to us about how to deal with temptation. Anybody here ever been tempted? Yeah. And so success, victory in your walk with God comes from you dealing with temptation, dealing with the issues of life. So how do we handle it? How do we win over it? How do you win over temptation? How do you defeat it? Well, let's begin. First of all, be realistic. Be realistic. James chapter 1, verses 9, 10, and 11. Believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them. And those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. And they will fade away like a little flower in the field. The hot sun rises and the grass withers and the little flower droops and falls and its beauty fades away. And in the same way, the rich will fade away with all their achievements. Now, if you're not careful, you're going to read those verses and think, see, it's better to be poor than rich. That is not what he's saying. Here's what he's saying. He's writing, remember, to these Jewish Christians, and many of them are poverty stricken. They're just very poor economically. You know, they just don't have anything. They're at the bottom of the pole as far as what the world thinks about them. And he says, look, in spite of your poverty, be proud of the fact that you are a child of the King. You are an heir. You've got something to boast about. You've got something to be happy about. You've got something to be proud about. God will honor you. You, what you are now is not what you will be. Your future is different. And then he talks about these rich people. Now, Jesus himself said, you know, it's really difficult to be rich and enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, that's bad news for us because we're all rich. Compared to the rest of the world, we're rich. But what he's saying to them, he says, look, to these Jewish Christians, you're rich. You have the advantage in the eyes of the world. Everybody looks at you like you've got it together. Be aware of the fact that your wealth is not eternal. That, you know, your wealth is going to fade away like a little flower in the field. It's just going to wilt one day. It's just going to droop and fall and beauty will fade away. And to them, the same thing. What you are now is not what you will be. To both of these, he says, you don't live for what you see now. You live for the unseen that's coming later. And that's what he's telling them. Be realistic about who you are. Whether you're rich or poor, we all have to understand the same thing. Our status and situation in life is not eternal. We have something far greater waiting for us. And it's far different from what we have now. And so understand where you're going. Understand what's ahead. Don't just look at your position or status in life at this moment. Understand there is more to come. Be realistic about who you are and understand who you are. Secondly, be resolute. So I'm going to overcome temptation. I got to understand who I am, and then I got to be resolute. And just one verse, verse 12 then, he says this. God blesses those, and you might want to underline this little word, those who patiently. Now, I know you all have patience, don't you? So, but you might want to have this for somebody else to show to them later on. To those patiently endure testing and temptation. Now, notice he gives two terms. We're going to deal with both of these a little later. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Testing are from God. God will test your faith. and why? Come on, we've talked about this. To help you grow. To prove to you, to prove to him, to prove that your faith is great. And so these tests reveal what's in us. And remember the text number. If you got a question, you can text it in there. See, we don't like tests because we think we know more than what we do. Go back to when you were in school. For most of you, or for those of you like me, tests were just something that you tolerated because you didn't really want to study for them except for the night before and then some because you thought you knew more than you did. And then you get the test and you take it and you think, well, I didn't do too bad. And then reality sets in when you get that paper handed back to you, right? And that tells you what you know and what you didn't know. And then you begin to make up excuses. Well, I would have studied more, but the dog ate my paper and I studied the wrong thing. Or this test wasn't fair. This wasn't right. You asked the wrong questions. You don't understand what I've been going through. You don't understand how hard this is. And we all make excuses, don't we? Oh, I wish I would have studied more. And God says, look, I'm going to test you in life. And you're going to have to understand that tests are coming. And it's not something he's just doing new. He's been doing this from day one. Genesis 22:1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. And you know what he asked him to do? Take your son. It was a test. Exodus 16, verse 4. The Lord said to Moses, look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you, and each day the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for that day. I will test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. We all know how that went, don't we? Psalm 105, verse 19. Until the time to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. Now you're reading this thing, that's kind of unfair. But that's what God does. Your faith matters to God. It's got to be tested. Hebrews 4:15. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he didn't sin. He passed the test. 1 Peter puts it this way, be truly glad. There's wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials or tests for a while, a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through a few trials, many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. So you and I have to understand, you see, we sometimes think when I accept Christ, I'm good for the rest of the time. You know, God's going to take care of me. It's, you know, kind of walk through, skip through life and everything will go good and I won't have any problems and everything will just be wonderful. And then a test shows up and we're going, what's going on here? I haven't studied for this. I didn't expect this. This isn't fair. This isn't right. God blesses people who patiently endure testing and temptation. Wow. So with a test, you got to get through it and pass it. And if you do, he says, you'll get the crown of life. We'll be victorious by passing the test. We'll be victorious in temptation by not giving into it. And our reward for enduring and patiently going through these will be eternal life. That's the reward. That's what you and I need to understand. So I need to be resolute. I've got to understand the tests are coming. It's going to be there. Thirdly, I've got to be responsible. I've got to be responsible. We good? No questions? Good. Verse 13, next verse. And remember, when you're being tempted, now hold it, he's just shifted, hasn't he? The first previous verse was a test. This verse is now a temptation. Hold on to that. When you're being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God will test you. He will never tempt you. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptations are from Satan to get you to disobey God. Tests are from God to strengthen your faith. But here's the problem. They seem alike. Well, Pastor, you come to me and say, Pastor, am I going through right now, am I going through a test or a temptation? Now, here's my answer. Make sure you hear it. Yes. Yes. You know, it's the old line we've talked about before. Is it God? Is it Satan? Is it me? Yes. God wants to use the trial you're going through to test your faith to make it stronger. Satan wants to use the trial you're going through to discourage you, to get you to abandon your faith, to disobey God. And you make the call. And so test and temptation are going on in our lives all the time. And so many times, trials and tests, they look alike, they feel the same, but it's all there. And so when it's over, you know, it's like doing the homework thing. I want to blame the teacher, I want to blame everybody else, but in reality, if I don't pass the test, whose fault is it? Mine. In reality, if I give in to the temptation and get dragged, whose fault is that? Well, Satan made me do it. I didn't want, you know, not my fault, right? That's what we do. You had a choice. God never wants you to sin. He never wants you to disobey. He always wants you to pass the test. But we blame society. We blame the government. We blame our heredity. We blame our parents. We blame our spouse. We blame the devil. We blame God. Well, it must have been God's will, or he wouldn't have let that happen. You know, no, God doesn't want you to fail. God wants you to pass the test. And so, you know, well, God told me to go do this, and I'm going to go do it. Well, hold it. That's not what God says. God's not doing that. Satan's trying to get you to go there, but that's not what God wants. God doesn't tempt you. He never goes against his word. He's always doing what's right. And so I'm responsible in my choices, aren't I? Now, Bible tells us the Holy Spirit is alive in us to help us with that choice. He's there giving us counsel. He's there telling us, do this, don't do this, go this direction. And so I'm responsible. And if I'm failing the test all the time and giving in, the Bible would say I'm immature. Remember what James is about? Growing up. When you grow up, you pass the test. Because here's the reality of life. I'll just speak for me. Most of my problems in life are my fault. Okay? And most of your problems in your life are your fault. Now, we don't like that, do we? We want to blame somebody else. You know, if I wasn't married to this person, my life would be great. You know, if I didn't have to work with that person, man, I'd be wonderful. You know, I could really do this if this person would just straighten up and leave me alone. You know, if the circumstances would just change and my life would just be wonderful if I could just win the lotto. That would just really solve everything. You know, and we just blame and blame and blame, but we don't take responsibility. And if I'm ever going to break the habits I've got, if I'm going to get victorious in the tests and trials that come, then I've got to take responsibility for it. I'm the one who's going to make the choices. I'm the one who ultimately is responsible. I can't blame God. I can't blame Satan. I have to take it as my own choice. And so there's a responsibility involved here. So I've got to be responsible. No excuses.
One. Oh, there I am. Hello. Just one.
Out of the darkness, he calls.
What is the amount you have to get right, or are there certain ones that you have to get right?
Well, here's the deal. God doesn't grade on a curve. Okay? You want to get them all right. That's the goal, and that's what we try and do. I can't take solace in the fact that, okay, this week, you know what? I've done pretty good. You know, I remember once we were taking Christmas pictures. Now, when you got five kids and you're taking Christmas pictures like we do in the family, and this is for the day before you had cameras, this is why you still had film, you know? And so we'd set up a tripod and set the timer on the camera, and I'd run back and get there, and you got five kids here, smile, and they're all, what? Bird, squirrel, where, and all that. And they're going around, and we did all that. And I remember one year, Stephen, he was really young, and we're done. I just shot a whole roll of film. I mean, it's just what you do. And he said, you know what? I think I did one good one. He was right. You know, and I can't go like, you know what? I passed two tests this week. Now, I failed five, but I'm doing better. Okay? I can't take solace in that fact. Yeah, good. I'm glad you did, but let's work on it. Okay? That's the goal. We should be getting better at this. And that's what we're talking about here in this.
That's all for now. Okay.
So, that. Now, next, be ready. Be ready. Verse 14, temptation comes from our own desires, okay? I'm responsible, right? Which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Now, see, temptation doesn't warn you in advance. You just have to know it's coming. Now, you'd like to have a sign up there, in 5 minutes, you're going to be tempted, be careful. You know, you'd like to have that, wouldn't you? But in reality, it just shows up. And one of the reasons it's temptation, because you don't even know it's there. It catches you by surprise. It catches you off guard. And so, how do I prepare for temptation? I got to be ready for it. I got to know it's coming. I got to understand how it operates. Now, the Bible tells us very clearly how God operates. He also gives us insight on how the devil operates. And there's only one thing good you can say about the devil. He's consistent. His mode of operandi is the same and always has been. He's been doing it for thousands of years. And so temptation is a process. It's never just a one-time act. And James outlines the steps the devil is using in order to tempt us. These two verses, and let me break them down for you, how temptation works. Number one, it's dependable. First part of verse 14, temptation comes. Let me just tell you something. I don't care how long you serve God, temptation's coming. You can count on it. Everyone's tempted. Every day we're tempted. You never get too old for it. You never overcome it by being real, more super spiritual. In fact, the more you grow to the Lord, the more it seems like the more tempted it just steps up. It's a fact of life. It's just always going to happen. You don't need to be surprised by it. You don't have to try and hide it. You don't have to pray, well, I'm so spiritual, I never get tempted anymore. Well, you're being tempted right now by pride, let me just tell you, and by ignorance. So we all have these struggles. It's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin if you give in to temptation. So everybody's tempted. So I have to understand it's dependable. It's going to come. Secondly, desires. It attacks my desires. Verse 14, James, what we read, temptation comes from our own desires. Now, you have desires in life that are good. You have a desire to breathe. That's a good desire. You have a desire to eat. I think that's a great desire. Some of you might not like that as much, you know, but we all have good desires. But Satan takes good desires and uses them to be destructive, to take something that God says is good, and he takes it and makes it bad. Thus, eating food is fine, but Satan will take that sometime and speak, let's say, to a young girl until you look fat, until she becomes bulimic, and she's given in to a temptation. And she looks in a mirror and sees herself and thinks bad things when God sees good things. And temptation tempts us. Temptation, sex is a desire that everyone's created with. And it's good. But Satan takes it and moves it and shifts it and uses bad for it. And you give into it. And so these temptations come from our own desires. Money. There is no sin in money. But Satan takes it and you desire more of it. And you want it. And he takes all these desires legitimately, but out of control, they become a problem. So they come from inside of you. Where do your temptations come from? They come from inside of you. They come from your desires. All right? Then, deception. Deception. Come from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. Now, in the original language, the picture is a fishing lure. You take this fishing lure, you throw it in the water, and for whatever type of fish you're using, you use different type of bait, different type of lure. And that lure is deceptive to the fish. It's thinking it's food, and it's not. The desire thinks it's good. Oh, I can take this, and no one will ever find out, and it'll all be okay. And, you know, and we take the bait. We give in to temptation, and we sin. And so Satan knows what bait to use on you. And we all have a different kind of bait. But he knows exactly what your hot button is. He knows exactly what to use. He knows your weakness. The crazy thing is, we many times know it's a temptation, but we just keep on nibbling. Well, I know what I'm doing. I'm an adult. I can control it. It's not a problem for me. It might be for others. I can handle this. We're idiots. Why? We're deceived. You know, you're deceived. Temptation always makes something look better than it really is. And it tries to fulfill a desire that God is already wanting to fulfill, but do it in a wrong way. Desire and deception are mixed in temptation. You're deceived with a desire. Then there's disobedience. These desires give birth to sinful actions. You see, it starts in your imagination. Because it begins and it goes from your mind. You have a natural desire. It ends up in your mind. It moves you, your thoughts, and your thoughts move into actions. He gets your attention. He gets you to have an attitude. He gets you to think it's not a big deal. He thinks you get you, here's what he gets you to think. You're different. You're not like that. You would never do that. You're better than somebody else. It's not a deal to you. You're not as bad as them. And he just gets you into a place where he can take your attitudes. He can tempt you with them. And he gets you to commit the action. And what started out as just a natural desire, he uses to get you into a place to disobey God. It's the whole purpose behind television advertising. You know, and I'll admit, sometimes I'm a sucker for them. You know, I see a commercial about a new product coming out at Taco Bell. You know, a nice steak quesadilla thing, wrap burrito, one of those, and you know, suddenly on Sunday, I'm thinking, where do you want to go eat? Let's go to Taco Bell. Anybody, you know, oh, pastor, that doesn't work. If it didn't work, they wouldn't be doing it. It does work on us. And so we disobey. So the desire gives birth to disobedience, sinful action, and then there's death. Death. When sin, verse 15, when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. In other words, you're not really living. You're now being controlled by something other than God. That always results in death. Living any life lived away from God is death. It separates you. It takes you away from the source of life. And so you and I have to understand that God gives me a freedom to choose. He says, look, here I am. I want to help you. I want to get your faith strong. I want you to have this crown of life. I want you to be the person who overcomes this. Let's test your faith. Let's get it strong. Let's keep building on it. And as I give you through these testings, you keep passing that test. That'll make you stronger. You can do the next test and the next test, and you can overcome this, and you can deal with this. And, you know, he says, I want you to do this. And Satan says, nah, you don't need to do that. Why don't you just give in to it and go this direction? It's the story and the steps of all of temptation and all the tests. But here's what you need to know. I'm going to end with this. 1 Corinthians 10:13. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. We've all got different little baits, but they're all similar. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you're tempted, he will show you a way out so that you won't take the bait, so that you can endure. Well, I couldn't help myself. I didn't know what else to do. I didn't have anywhere else to go. I didn't have a choice in the matter. Yeah, you do. You always do. And he says, look, when you're tempted, I'll help you. I'll be there with you. Know it's coming. Know it's there. Know where it comes from. Take responsibility for it and be victorious, because God wants you to win. Oh, good. I'm glad. No. God wants you to be victorious. Sin no longer is your master. So whatever it is you might be battling with tonight, I've got great news for you. God will show you a way out, a way to him, so that you can endure. Would you bow your heads? Would you just take a moment? Is God speaking to you right now? Maybe, what's that thing in your life right now that you're dealing with, that you need help with, that God's dealing with you about it? And will you ask him to help you, and will you take responsibility for it?
Thank you for joining us for tonight's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. We also gather on Sunday mornings at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next time for Wednesday night at Faith Assembly. Faith Assembly's Wednesday night is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.